up here. I kind of thought we had enough to chew on during the announcement time. But this morning, we have a dear friend, Harlan Miller, from New Horizons Ministries in Colorado. And he and his family are going to share with us this morning. So, Brother Harlan, I guess I should say Cousin Harlan. Harlan's my second cousin, so we go back to when we were short. It's been a long time. So we both spent some growing up time in Sarasota, Florida. But anyhow, so whatever God has prepared for you, then we're ready to hear from you, brother. There's so many things going on this morning, and yet we trust that God has been ahead of us, and he's going before us. And in the midst of all of what we have, we're trusting that God has given you a message for us this morning. So let's give our attention again to God this morning. God, we again, we thank you for the way that you've prepared our brother. We trust that we're to hear from you this morning. Pray that you would be working in Arlen's mind ahead of his thoughts, that you would be the one speaking this morning. And God, pray that we would hear you and that your name would be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it is so good to be with you all this morning. Tell you what, I think since COVID, I don't know, there's something about worshiping together that is just extra special to me. I don't know if it is that way for you or not, but just feeling the emotion and the things that God is doing in my heart as we worship this morning, and just knowing it's going to be okay. You know, God is on the throne, and we of all people in the world are most blessed. So it's good to be with you. I was going to try to see if we could do a video chat with John's this morning, John and Michelle. And when I was trying to work things out, I found out they're actually camping this morning. So we're not able to do that. And I just want to thank you for sharing them with us. Thank you for supporting them and just for being church to them, even though they're way out there. We love having them there. John's doing a great job. I'm just always amazed when they come around with their children. Oh, they got another placement. You know, here they come with, you know, it's great to see their heart for what God has called them to do. And he said, make sure to take my greetings and tell them that we love them. So I just want to pass that on to you this morning. I'm grateful to have my family along, and I don't know if you don't mind just standing, Nina, if you would stand, and the children. Davian is on the your left there. He's my oldest son, and then Trinity and Alicia. Thank you. They'll be helping a little bit later on with part of the presentation. Well, a little bit about New Horizons, and just want to share that to the glory of God. We do these trips every once in a while just to raise support, to recruit some people. We have a need for a number of staff positions to be filled, so we'll be doing that a little bit later on. And we're actually on the way to an auction in Catlin, Virginia, a fundraiser auction that we've been getting stuff together for. And so it's been a busy trip. So I want to share a bit about New Horizons and then get into the message of what I feel God has called for us this morning. I don't know if you've thought much about what would happen in your family if the man of the home would go to prison. How would that affect the children? How would that affect the wife? Or let's say if the wife had to go off to prison and you as a husband would be at home with the children, what would that look like in your home? And then if you would look at it and say, now how would I do that without the church? Incarceration profoundly impacts so many people, and for the most of us and for most of my life, it was a group of people that were so separate from where I was. I just didn't know much about those people. You know, there were somebody, you would be driving down the road and you see some people picking up trash in the ditch, they had jumpsuits on. It's kind of like, I wonder what they did. You know, I never one time thought about what's their family going through. How is this affecting them? And so it's really what God has called us to do is to step into those families, step into those situations of incarceration and make a difference. We call it breaking the cycle of incarceration. I want to talk just a bit about that and give a little bit of a definition or talk about the cycle of incarceration, because some people they're in that cycle. There's a whole group of people that are in that cycle, and they really don't know how to get out of that. The personal cycle of incarceration, we have two cycles. Talk about the personal one first. Starts with addiction. Most prison people that are in prison, it began with an addiction. It could have been their parents, their mom taught them how to do drugs. It happens way too often. It could also be just maybe they went through a surgery and or for some reason they had to take narcotics or something for their pain, and then they got addicted to that. But eventually, the addiction can't be paid for legally, so it goes to crime. Crime leads to prison. They go into prison, and if you've been in prison, you know that if you visited prison, if you've been there, whatever, it is a place of penalty. It is not a place of reformation for the most part. And so people go into prison, and they're doing their time, and then they get out, and the cycle just continues. They get out, if they haven't changed at all, they go back to addiction, they go back to crime, go back to prison and reenter, and that cycle goes on. There's another cycle of incarceration that I want to talk about is generational. This one I think is a really, the other one's sad, but this is more sad, sadder. When you have a parent that goes off to prison, you have a dysfunctional home, and the children are impacted. You can just imagine what that is like in those homes where dad is gone or mom is gone, and you have and no church is there to help, and the children are impacted. One of the moms in our program shared how her 13-year-old son had to pay rent. When she went to prison, he had to pay rent. Well, how does a 13-year-old pay rent? Well, he saw how his dad made money, and so he did the same thing, breaking into places, a life of crime, and now he ends up in prison. So you have the child is impacted, child gets caught in the cycle, and we have these two cycles of incarceration where people are locked into those cycles. And we want to do whatever we can to jump in at all the different places that we can and break that cycle in the name of Jesus. The power of the gospel can make a difference in these lives, and we see that over and over and over again. One of the first ways that we do that is our prison ministry. Now, for many people, they know New Horizons as a place that cares for babies, making the difference in the life of a child. That was our slogan for many years. We still have just as much passion for that, but God has opened the door up to more than just caring for the baby. So prison ministry is something I could tell you stories for quite a while about what God has done. Maybe I'll have time for that in just a bit. I have a short video clip of some of the men and women that we minister with that just share a little bit about the change in their life. And I might mention this, the mix isn't very good on this, so the highs come through a little loud, but if you can bear with that, I think you'll be blessed.
I was a very evil, wicked person, and I didn't like that person. And I had to learn all over who I was, and since Jesus came to my life, I'm finding out who I'm really supposed to be.
New Horizons ministry has saved my life. I feel freer sitting here than I've ever felt in my life. I wouldn't even have a Bible if it wasn't for Chaplain Donna in Miss Virginia. If it wasn't for them being a light in my darkness, then I wouldn't have made it through here.
I used to live an evil criminal life. I used to live a life of a thug, gangster, drug addict, alcoholic, drug dealer. I mean, the list goes on. I'm currently serving a life without parole prison sentence. I've been down for 14 years now. Now Christ has given me life and uses me as his vessel to reach out to my family and lead them to Christ and many others.
My father was a heroin addict. I was able to watch his life and see what I didn't really want. But in a lot of ways, I mimicked what he did. I used drugs and I drank and stuff like that. And I just went in and out of jail. Now I have been incarcerated for 25 years.
Before I met Jesus, I was going in and out of church every now and then, because of my grandmother,
But I mean, I was a wreck. I was into drugs. I was into gangs. I was doing a lot of stupidity stuff. And then now I ended up in prison. And this is where I found Jesus. Chaplain Matt walked me through it, and I gave my life to the Lord, and he baptized me here. And it was an incredible journey that I'm still on to this day.
I come from a huge line of drug addiction. Well, I was a lesbian. I came in and talked with Chaplain Virginia, and we prayed and broke through that. And I don't have the cravings for having that relationship with a woman anymore. It's amazing. I don't know how many times without appointments that I have come into the door and just been like, I need help. I can't get through this crisis. I need guidance. And the chaplains are like, have a seat. Let's talk about this.
We won't know that people out in the world still care about us. Because it says in the word, don't forget those in prison, and y'all not forgetting us.
This is the light within the prison, the darkness that surrounds this place. There's a lot of beautiful things that take place here. A lot of people become, who are enemies, become friends.
The difference that Jesus made in my life and continues to make is profound.
There's a lot of people that who are living in darkness out there, and this is their last chance, and they find it in here.
This is a big mission field. There is a lot of people who need to be saved, and a spiritual battle between not believing and believing, and that's the biggest mission we have.
I have three children, and I have a son that has followed in my footsteps and in his dad's footsteps. It takes just one of us to break that cycle, to be able to show our family a new life, and I believe I'm that one.
We're able to do quite a bit in prison. Actually, Department of Corrections has opened the door and basically said, you guys write the program. They've said, you write the program, and we'll do what we can to make it happen. And so a number of programs that happen on the inside, or I should say before COVID that had happened, things are paused right now. Friday night Bible studies, Sunday morning church services, we have it in multiple prisons. And right now, because we can't go in, we're actually able to record a video and send that in, and they play that on the in-house TV channel. And so guys are getting the gospel that wouldn't normally come to chapel service. We do Bondage to Freedom, a number of different seminars, rec programs, things of that nature. But the thing that we find that makes the biggest difference is to have a full-time chaplain, somebody that can be in the chapel, that can work with these men and women when they're ready. And so many stories. Carlos, the guy on there that said he has a life without parole, he's been down for 14 years. He was in prison, found the Lord, got saved. And what we find is so many of these guys, when they get saved, one of the first men and women, when they get saved, the first thing that they begin thinking about is their children. Like, what about my children? Like, I haven't really been connected with them for 10 years or 12 years or 15 years. And I wonder where they're at. And Carlos's son was in another prison, and he began to pray that God would move his son to the same prison that he is so they could do time together, right? Spend time together. The Dave Miller family was coming through Canyon, and they were going to have a revival service one night, and Carlos's prayer was that his son could come and be with him for that service. And sure enough, the day that the Dave Miller family came, Carlos's son, arrived in that prison. They were able to go to the service that night. His son gave his heart to the Lord, and a few weeks later, we had a baptism, and Carlos was able to help baptize his son. And that is the power of the gospel, because there are chaplains who can be there in the prison. Another story, RJ was a school teacher, and he picked up a sex abuse charge. He had his fault to play, but there was alcohol involved, and there was some false accusation. RJ was very bitter, just mad at life, mad at the people that took advantage of him, and was not doing well. He was transferred to Territorial, which is the prison where we do our apprentice chaplain program, where we do our training for chaplains. And he was chosen to be a clerk in the chapel. Basically, what a clerk does is just keep records, keep the chapel set up for the next event, things like that. Most prisoners have a job of some kind. They'll work in the cafeteria, they'll do grounds maintenance and also in that same prison where RJ was, they are CNAs, where they actually take care of older prisoners who can't care for themselves. RJ was asked to be a clerk. He said, "I was scared to death because I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I'm supposed to go in there and you know, be like, help the chaplain." He worked with Matt for 2 years, and during that time, he found freedom like he didn't know existed before. He was just healed of his anger, his bitterness, and was accepting now that this is, you know, how this is the way life is. How can I go from here? And Thursday before we left, about a week and a half ago, I was on the phone with RJ, and he was sharing how he got out of prison. He went to a halfway house, and in that halfway house, he was in a meeting, and one of the guys got up and started saying, he said, "I was a school teacher, and I caught a sex abuse charge, and it wasn't right," and he kind of almost word for word, the story of RJ. And when they got done with that, with the meeting, RJ went up to him and said, "Michael," he said, "I know exactly what you're going through because I was there." And he told me, he said, I started processing with him, and he said, I took him to the foot of the cross, and I just prayed over him and shared how he can let all these things at the foot of the cross. And I would have thought that I was listening to Chaplain Matt. He had worked so closely with Chaplain Matt. Now he's in a halfway house making a difference somewhere else. And I'm such an encouragement. Praise the Lord for that. One of the last prisons that we place a chaplain in is a youth offenders system. It's YOS, a place where youth go that have committed adult crimes. So they may have caught 40 years or whatever, however much time, but if they go there and do the 5-year program, and they can get out after 5 years, unless they mess up. If they mess up, even in the last year, they go to the big house and do their entire time. Ricky was placed in that prison. We feel like that was a prison that when we invest in those guys, that's going to make the biggest difference because of how young they are. And if you can just imagine a prison with about 400 guys in from the ages of 14 to 20. Can you imagine? There's so much energy, and it's just a bit crazy. But Chaplain Ricky has his office right off of one of the dorms and gets to talk with these guys. There was a guy I talked to just a couple of weeks ago who said, my grandma was a Christian, but my mom is a Wiccan, basically a witch. And he said, "My dad's an atheist, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what does all this mean?" And Ricky was able to walk him through, just talking about the two kingdoms and contrasting them. Ricky said, "I'm so excited about continuing to walk alongside him." And so that's just a brief picture of some of the stories that pass, that happen. One more, and then I'll move on. Diana was a lady in the women's prison, and she had an abortion. Many years earlier, she said every night she would have a nightmare, and she would see her baby and know that she killed her son, and just so much regret and almost tormented each night. And as Chaplain Donna was able to walk with her and for her to find healing and to find freedom and know that she has been forgiven was a big deal for her. Another way that we break the cycle of incarceration is in reintegration, or our moms program, and our reentry program. And we have one of the moms, a short video of one of the moms sharing her story.
One of my first memories is my dad wanting to throw my mom down the stairs. My mom did drugs, my dad did drugs. My dad was in and out of prison most of my life, and when he was out, he was never around. I was always wondering, you know, what was wrong with me? I was molested when I was a child. I felt like I'm unloved, kind of, in a way. Like, nobody cared about what happened to me. I feel like if he wouldn't have died, I probably would have killed myself. I went to foster care for a while, and I was in foster care twice. The visits is what I lived for. You know, I never wanted to leave her. It's just the situation was so bad. I just remember it was my 8th birthday, and it was the best birthday ever because I was going home to my mom. You know, I did really good until I got to elementary school, and then I started fighting really bad. I'd get expelled from school, and finally my mom was done with it. I started doing drugs really bad, like really, really bad, and I was hiding it from my mom. I was 25. I got sent to a halfway house where I ran for the first time, and I caught an escape charge. I ran to my boyfriend, who was still doing drugs and was drinking really bad, and he shot himself in the head in front of me. I went to prison like 2 days later. I sat in prison, and I had my baby, and I didn't know what I was gonna do with her because my family is not in any condition to have a child. And I heard a New Horizons. I mean, I found God when I found New Horizons. I had to have 2 officers with me when I went and had my baby. They gave me about 2 hours with my daughter to hold her, you know? And then they came in and they said I needed to put the baby down. I was heartbroken. And nobody wants to give up their child, you know, right after you have them. And a second later, they showed up with the wheelchair and they wheeled me down to my cell. And all I thought about was Tesla. I love her so much, I want to see her blossom into that beautiful flower. And I'm going to do everything that I can to let her know that, you know, I'm there for her, and I want her to know Jesus the way I do. If my life would have been different and I knew Jesus at a young age, everything would have been much different. Visits when I was incarcerated were good. It was hard watching my baby leave every time, but, you know, Sammy always made sure that, you know, I got my time with her. Even the Bible studies were great. I loved the Bible studies. I was so nervous coming out of the prison. I didn't even know how to, like, function because I had been locked up for so long. Leona came and picked me up, and she brought me some clothes, so I didn't have to wear prison clothes anymore. She pretty much got me everything I needed to live for a second. Jesus gives me the strength every day that I need to, you know, do what's right. He took away my cravings for drugs. I want Jesus to work through me so that I can show people, you know, that people can change. And I am living proof. Addiction doesn't have to be the end of it.
When Nine and I moved to Colorado in 2004, we went as house parents and childcare house parents. We moved into a house where we cared for the children, actually the nannies. We supported the nannies in their care of the child. But what we were not prepared for really was the relationship that we had with the moms. And just broken, broken stories. Remember the first time that I heard of a case where one of the moms shared that she was prostituted for her parents' drug habit. And how do you share the love of Christ? How do you minister to someone from that place? It's a challenge and really an honor to serve the ladies. We are excited that New Horizons has just been. We're qualified as an alternate treat. An alternate sentencing facility where these women, they're actually sentenced to New Horizons. And so next month, our first mom is coming that is actually sentenced to our Rancher program. And we're looking forward to have her join us. And just do life. The first 4 months of that program is Bible studies, mentoring, praying, just caring for her. And even during that time, the reunification with her child is going to take place. Childcare is another way that we break the cycle, and that is what we're most known for, and just some of the things that happen in childcare, and to give that child the absolute best start that we can. Mom goes to prison pregnant. Most of them don't even realize that they're pregnant until they get the pregnancy test, which is part of their physical. And then they find out they're pregnant, and where are they going to go with this child? New Horizons is the only agency in Colorado that will care for that child and reunify it with its mother again. So really, really unique opportunity. Recently, we had a baby dedication, and that's not our pipe organ, by the way. We are renting a facility right now as we're doing a renovations in our church. But having those children there and knowing the difference that it makes, we can't change their eternal destiny, but dedicating that child to the God is a big deal. I feel like it's kind of like you sneak into the enemy camp and grab a little kid and bring them out to church and dedicate them to the Lord, right? I believe there's power in that. The picture quality is not very good. I had my cell phone. I was in the back of the church, but one of the moms was able to be there this last time too, which was a huge blessing. Thrift store is an important part of New Horizons. The thrift store is able to provide almost half of the funding for the ministry. And all the programs of the prison, the chaplain's programs, the reentry programs would not be possible if it wasn't for the thrift store. So it's a big blessing. I have some of the VSers that share a bit about their time in the dorms and working in the store.
Back home, I really liked what I did. I really liked making money and all that, but I just knew there was something missing.
I was one to be content just to be at home, but I was restless.
So the plans I had to come out here was to be a nanny, and God did not have that plan. Currently, I am doing the household assistant, and it's very stretching.
Being a department manager in the Pueblo thrift store and just having to work with people on a daily basis has definitely pushed me to grow in ways that I wouldn't have if I would have just stayed at home and stuck with the same job I had.
New Horizons Ministries has two thrift stores, one in Canyon City and one in Pueblo, and the production center is at the Canyon City location.
My favorite part of the thrift store is definitely the people. I wake up every day and I can't wait to go to the store and just meet all my favorite people and work with them all day.
So since I work in furniture, we get a lot of couches that are have lots of cat hair and dog hair, and trust me, they really stink.
It helps to give child hope, my mother to be able to support her child and be a productive member of the community and a body of Christ.
By folding sheets every day, I get to help provide support for moms coming out of prison that need extra help with getting back into society.
Folding those endless towels makes it possible for women to go into prison and be chaplains to the inmates.
Since being out here at New Horizons, it has better prepared me for my future. Just in the leadership that I am gaining from being out here, it's just really gonna help me later on.
It's very satisfying to know that you're doing something not for yourself, but for the greater good of others.
Camp Week is basically a week for youth to come out here and experience what the VSers experience in just 1 week. You get to work on the household, and you do get to see some sightseeing, which was very awesome.
One of my favorite pastimes is hiking, and there is an endless amount of hiking out here that you can do.
At home, I always relied on my parents for like the spiritual part of my life, and then just coming out here, I had to completely rely on God.
One of the biggest lies for me is coming out here would not be successful. I have found out that this is very successful. It is very good to build God's kingdom.
One thing that was a big obstacle for me in the past was that I was not good enough. One of the first things I learned out here was that no matter what you do, you're made in the image of God, and everything you do with His Spirit in you, it matters.
Many of you know Lauren Miller. He's been part of the leadership, or somehow involved in the church way back. Remember the day that Lauren said that he felt like God was like it was time for him to be relieved of his position. And I almost right away, I said, well, I know that it's not going to be me because of I feel like God is calling me to work more closely with the youth. And the thrift store, the youth that come to work in the thrift store, we want to do whatever we can to bless and do life with them. Isaac is here somewhere. Back there he is. He would have went through the dorm. Maybe there's others here who were a part of New Horizons as well. But it is my heart, really, to provide a great place for youth to come and others to come and serve. A few ways that you can get involved. One is just is to pray. We need prayer. We are. It feels a lot of times like we're like front lines, and to the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. However, he can. And then also another way to get involved is by volunteering. And my children are going to come and help with presenting some of the staff needs.
Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
What does workmanship mean? That's a pretty big word. Is it like something on the ocean?
Well, in Greek, workmanship is poema, which means masterpiece or work of art.
Wow, you mean we are specially designed by God like a beautiful painting on the wall?
Exactly, but there is more. Inside each one of us, God has placed special talents, giftings, and dreams that we are called to do, that we are called to do the works.
Like what kind of works is it talking about?
Well, God is not okay with children not having a home or people not knowing about him. And he even said that if someone is thirsty, we should give them a drink. Or if someone needs clothing, we should give them some. I believe God has a plan for all needs to be met.
Wow, you mean God sees every need in the world and that he wants these things that are wrong to be made right?
Exactly. Just like our Heavenly Father wants to, just like our dad wants to meet our needs, our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, wants to meet our needs in the best way. And we, who are called into his family, are supposed to step into those places, the broken places, and make them right. Every one of us has a work that we have been called to do. The work at New Horizons is way more than we can do, and we need more help. Maybe there are some of you that are called to work with us there. We want to tell you about a few opportunities.
My name is Kim. I'm in prison and I had a baby. The only hope of me having a life with my child is if New Horizons cared for her. Every Wednesday, the foster parents bring Destiny in to see me, and those visits are so very important so that I can spend time and bond with my child. Thank you so much for bringing Destiny in to see me. It is the highlight of my week. I live for Wednesdays.
Destiny is doing so well. Her first tooth just came in, see?
When we agreed to be childcare house parents, I never thought about the relationships we would have to develop with the moms of the children we care for. We need another couple to come and join us as childcare house parents to help the nannies as they care for the children, and we need nannies. Another important position is a couple to come help in our reentry program. This couple will live in the Oasis Park and work with the reentry supervisors.
When I was born, I tested positive for drugs, so I was placed in a foster home. Thank God I was eventually placed in the family that is now mine. There are many more children just like me who need a home. We need more good families to come open their heart and home to more children just like me who are in need.
Most prisoners in Colorado don't have a full-time chaplain, so crusades, Friday night Bible studies, and other events are great, but to have a chaplain be in prison for some of the hardest times of our lives is most helpful. New Horizons is looking for men and women chaplains, and are also looking for a couple who can be chaplains together in a women's prison.
If you think that just because we work at a mission, we don't have problems, think again. Even my dad has issues. We're looking for a couple with a pastor's heart to come and help the staff be all they can be in the work that God has called them to do. This couple will work with individuals and teams and other couples.
It's really hard being a working mom, but I feel I don't have any choice. So I am glad when my baby gets to go to Children's Haven, which is New Horizons Daycare. Early next year, we will need a few more daycare workers to come join their team. If you like caring for little children, I bet you will love working at Children's Haven as much as my baby loves going there.
I've worked in at the thrift store at the household table, and one of the worst things to clean is a dirty toaster. But even though it gets a bit disgusting at times, I know that the work I do makes it possible to care for babies, minister to their moms, and to pay chaplains to be in prison. Plus, I have a great time with most of the staff I'm with, and I'm looking for more workers to come help me with these toasters and a whole lot more.
I live in the guys' dorm, and even though we have someone to oversee the discipleship program, we need a couple to come cook for us guys 5 nights a week, and to oversee the 3 thrift store housing properties. So, if you love cooking and your husband loves doing property maintenance, or if you love cooking and your wife loves doing property maintenance, either one works, as long as the food is great.
All right, so here's a list of the needs, of the staff needs that we have. If there's anyone here who just wants to know more about what's happening or how to get involved, or you just something was tugging on you today, we'd love to chat with you afterwards. And then another way to get involved is to donate. And I know, oh my goodness, I'm going to make a mess with the toast up here in a minute. Another way, and I know many of you have given, and I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, say thank you for getting involved in that way. Even through COVID, the last few months, when our thrift stores were closed for a bit, and we were like, what's going to happen? Like, how are things going to work out? Our supporters stepped up and helped us in amazing ways. So I just want to thank you for that. Number of different ways. You can donate by check or cash. You can go online at nhm.us, or we have a dip jar out in the lobby. And it's a little round thing that you take your credit card and you can dip in it. So for you kids, just ask your parents for the credit card. It's really fun. It makes a little music. And as often as you want to. That would be great. Whatever was shared today about New Horizons, I just want God to receive all the glory and all the praise for it. Honestly, could not do what we're doing without the Lord's help. And because of all my issues or my problems that Davian shared, we're not perfect people. And so we need your prayers, and as we do the work, that God would be glorified. All right. I was thinking about what God would have me share this morning, and even just as we were preparing for this trip, I felt very early on that something was going to be different about this trip. A number of our plans kind of fell through. Things changed. It was just different. And I remember even typing in a mind map of mine that I just processed things that that God's trying to tell me something. What is it? What's God trying to? What does He want for this trip? And through, I actually one day called all the chaplains in and had them come in and just process with them, pray with them, and listen, hear from the Lord. And felt like God gave some pretty clear direction with this. In fact, just the Sunday before we left home, one of the chaplains came up to me. We had a prayer time, and the chaplain said, and one of the chaplains came up and he said, you are not going primarily as an ambassador for New Horizons this time. You are going as an ambassador to the church. You have a message for the church. You know, we live in a day when it's just, who would have ever guessed a year ago that, you know, we couldn't even imagine what we have experienced over the last 8 months or so. So much confusion, so much fear, so much chaos, that even politically, the polarizations of opinions, has been profound. Thank God for God, right? I mean, what would we do if we did not have that connection and that relationship with Him during these times? Such a comfort. In all the fear that's around us, there's such a comfort. And as I was thinking back over, just back to 9/11, back in 2001, I don't know how many of you remember exactly where you were on 9/11, when you first heard that planes were crashing into buildings. You remember that? You tell who all the old people are, right? I remember, I was living in Arkansas. I was out, and we had a lawn business. I was out mowing the yard, and the lawn customer came out, and you could just see the fear in his eyes. He's like, you won't believe what's happening. A plane just flew into one of the Twin Towers, and a little bit later he came out and said, another one flew in, and just the fear. And I remember that night as we were watching the news, seeing crowds of people running for their lives as those buildings came down. Fear, just motivating. But there was a different group of people that were going the opposite direction. They were the medics, they were the firefighters, they were police officers, and they were actually running towards the danger, because that's what they were trained to do. That's what was their calling in life. This is the moment that they were made for. And as I think of what has happened around us and in culture in the last number of months, I there's in my heart, I just believe this is what we're called to. This is our time. We don't run with the masses during this time. We realize that there's more going on. We have a different value system. We have different, we get our orders, we get our marching orders from somewhere else besides CNN or Fox News or Facebook or Instagram. Like, that's not where we get our, that's not what feeds us. We have a connection somewhere else through the Word and through our relationship with Christ, where we see things differently than the world does. We see things differently. The fear that runs so many people's lives has no part in our life. The Word says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if I was translating it, I would say power, love, and common sense. And so much fear of death. You know, as just thinking of Cheryl, I never met her, but as Eric was sharing about her life this morning, and even some others, a worship leader was sharing about some of the things, some of the people that have passed before, and recognizing that there is a loss and that it is hard. And as they were talking about, as they were sharing about this, of the passing of Cheryl, and I don't, you know, the verse that came to me, I think it says something about this: precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. You know, we see it from a different perspective, but God says it's precious. I was reading a few verses a while ago in Hebrews chapter 2, and I just want to read them. And it just brought so much comfort and purpose. Hebrews 2, if I can find it here, verse 14. See if I can read it. I turned 50 this past week. I can hardly believe it. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, Hebrews 2, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So there are people who are in slavery to their fear of death, but that's not us. God, Jesus has broken that off, and we no longer have to live in fear. I remember the first time that I found out about this cool thing called Google Earth, and I remember typing in my address and then hitting the satellite image, and it's like, wow, you can see the house and everything, you know. And then I went up on the zoom out, you know, and you started zooming out, you know, and it's like, whoa, and zoomed out until the Earth was just sitting out there in space. If we do that with our lives this morning, and we zoom out until you don't see COVID anymore, zoom out until you don't see your town anymore, or maybe even you, just kind of zoom out, and you see the world sitting there, and it's peaceful out there. There's no riots out there, but there's two things, if we were out there and we could look back at the world, there's two things that I believe that we would know without a shadow of a doubt. Number one is, God is in control. Doesn't matter what, we're zoomed so far out, we don't even see the election coming up, maybe, I don't know. Like, God is in control. And the second thing is that there is a spiritual warfare that is happening right now. We have all these distractions, all these things happening around us, the riots, the mandates from the government, all these things are going, you know, so many distractions. But we need to realize that there's spiritual warfare right now. I believe it's in Corinthians, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he was talking about whatsoever you forgive will be forgiven, and whatever's not forgiven. He went through all that. And then at the end of it, he says that because we are not unaware of the enemy's schemes. And I pray that for you guys this morning, for all of us, really, that we are not unaware of the enemy's schemes. All these things that are polarizing people and dividing people, that we could recognize that the enemy is all about stealing and killing and destroying. He wants to divide. He wants to put people against each other. He's going to do whatever he can to destroy, and that we would not be unaware of those schemes. All this distraction that's happening, can we just zoom out and get back to where, you know, God is in control? There's a spiritual warfare going on. We're not unaware of his schemes. Another scripture in Hebrews, I just like to read Hebrews. Hebrews 12. It talks about the great. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And if you want to know who those witnesses are, you go back to Hebrews 11, and it talks about, you know, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. That's faith. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just went out. And we go on down the list, and then we get over to verse numbers are smaller than the rest of them. 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. And when I'm reading down through this, I'm thinking, where do I fit into this? Like, how does my life measure up to some of these saints that have gone on before? Escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There was others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, prosecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. COVID ain't nothing, right? The fear of death is broken, and we are free from that. Like, let's do our absolute best during this season. So we're zoomed out. God's in control. We're not unaware of there's a spiritual warfare, and we're not unaware of his schemes. Let's zoom back in again. Zoom back in and in, all the way in until you see your life again. Now, with what we learned out there, how do you live your life now? When you walk into a heated discussion about politics, what's your perspective? When there is opposition about how to deal with COVID or mandates from the governor, how do you respond in those situations? I believe we should be prepared. It's amazing the opportunities. I think, was it you, Eric, that was just your, as you prayed for a brother and sister who's going back to Africa, there's opportunities that COVID brings. How can we be ready for that and actually step into that place? No fear of death. We have power and love and common sense. Like, can we step into those places and bring a peace that passes understanding in the middle of it? Because we're dialed in. We have what we need. And what do we have to fear? So I just want to bless each of you with godly wisdom to know exactly what it looks like. When you zoom back in again and you see your life, what does that look like powered by the Holy Spirit? I just want to encourage you. I want to exhort you in that today. It's okay if I have a word of prayer? Yeah. Father in heaven, we just come to you. Lord, you are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are worthy of way more glory than we can bring, but we give it all to you. Father, I pray that our lives would be, that we would receive our, the drumbeat that we're following would not be that of the world. We would just be in step with you, Lord. Father, each one of us have different areas of opportunity and influence. Some of us are business owners. Some of us maybe are department leaders. Some of us are just leading the family or in a classroom. The leaders here at the church, Father, I just pray that you would give us divine insight to know how to live our lives when we zoom back in. Lord, when we get down into the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday of each week, Lord, that we could know exactly how you want us to live. Because God, we know that someday we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And God, we want to be ready for that and hear those words, "Well done," and live forever with you. Lord, we don't know when you're coming back. You could come at any time. I believe we're just in the end of the end. And God, that we could be ready for you. Bless this congregation. Bless the leaders here for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.